Yeah, Kuf Samach Tes. I think we're up to Sif Dalid. So we have the entire siman so far. It's a pretty long siman. I don't know how far it's going to go. And in terms of like Lemaisa, I'm not sure. Although tonight seems like it touches on something very, very Lemaisa, but it turns out that it probably is not so relevant practically. But the general issue is if you throw a non-Jew into the picture, right? Ribbis is prohibited between Jew and Jew, between non-Jew and Jew is okay. So if that's the case, that could open itself up to large degrees of abuse, or not really abuse, harama, ways of getting around, things that look like ribbis, things that smell bad. And anyways, when we're talking about the laws of ribbis, we're always talking on a somewhat of a low margin for error in terms of what is going to be prohibited and what is going to be permissible. So the case that we spoke about last week, that is discussed explicitly in the Gemara, Maseches Bava Metzia, Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, is the topic of last week's was, if a Jew borrows from a non-Jew with ribbis, and another Jew, and he's about to pay him back, and another Jew comes along and says, oh, I'll take that money which you owe to Chris, I'll take that loan, and I'll pick up on the terms of that loan. So what in effect ends up happening is that he is accepting from the Jew his loan, but he is the Jew, the original Jew who owned it, who owed the non-Jew, he has now turned himself from a lova to a non-Jew, well, not really into it, but he has now also become a malva to a Jew. Halacha views that as two different loans. If that's the case, original lova is now lending to malva, and then malva is giving more money back in exchange for that loan. So then all of a sudden you have a significant ribbis problem that has come about. So that was last week's year. So now, what about, you have a different nuance of that. If we go to Sif Dalet, Kuf Samach Ches Sif Dalet, Ove Kochavim, Shemal V'Yisrael. Let's say you have a non-Jew who lent to a Jew, Beribis, Al Menash She'itin HaRibis LeYisrael, on condition that he gives to the Ribis to a Jew, so that's okay. Right, you're giving there's extra money. The non-Jew gives the Jew $100. He says, "You owe me $100, and you owe Shlema Feivel. You owe him $10. You owe him $10. And I want you to give him the well. There you know. You owe me. I'm charging you an extra $10, and I want you to give it to Shlema Feivel. So that would be mutter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, that should be simple enough. But that then sets up Sifei. In Yisrael Halovel Ovikulchavim. Let's say a Jew lends to a non-Jew. So now we've turned the tables, and perhaps more in a familiar role as the Jews have been throughout their history. So you have a Jew that is lending to a non-Jew beribis. Va'obi kuchavim malve osam liyisrael beribis. Now the non-Jew says, okay, now I have this money, I'm hereby going to lend it out to another Jew beribis. The Choser Yisrael Harishon, Venotel Ribis Miobi Kochavim. So the Jew comes along and says, hey, non-Jew, Chris, I want my money back, and with the Ribis. And now he collects the Ribis Miobi Kochavim from the non-Jew. So that's the Shulchan Aruch says is Aser. Right? That's the Shulchan Aruch says is Aser. So why? So for Sheldon is looking at me with a. With the cross eyes,
you're really getting it from the Jew.
You can make this look like he's getting it from the Jew. In fact, just the simple case of there's some non-Jew who borrowed money from a Jew and then turns out he's a Jew. It sounds like that would be okay, but there is some kind of nuance here that's going to make it more strict. But just to we might not get ourselves in these cases too often, except for when you realize that this is exactly how banks work. Right? How does a bank work? A bank is borrowing money from their customers, their bank accounts, in exchange for them borrowing that money, they're giving out a very wee little tiny bit amount of interest, right? But they are giving some amount of interest back to their customers, and then they have this pot of money now, they're lending it out to other people in exchange at higher interest rates, right? And that margin in the middle is, in theory, their profit margin. I think that's the theory of banks, right? Right? So that's what's going on here, right? You have a Jew who lends money to the non-Jew, right? A customer gives money to the non-Jewish bank, and the non-Jewish bank, in turn, is lending it out to another Jew. So Shulchan Aruch says that that's a problem. So do we just aser banking, right? I think a couple, when we first started, Simin Kuf Samach. So Kuf Samach was the issues of, we talked about the issues of a Jewish bank, a Jewish-owned bank. So maybe we should avoid the whole thing, a Jewish-owned bank. Well, apparently a non-Jewish bank sounds like it's problematic as well.
What's the problem? I mean, you're giving the guy the money, and you're loaning him the money. You don't have anything. You know what he's doing with it. If I loan money to somebody, then he has the right to do whatever they want.
Correct.
I can't. And so we know what they're going to do with it.
Right. Yeah. So what's going on here? Why should it be us in the first place? Right. So if you take a look in Chelkas Ben Yamin, you should have copied me copies of this, perhaps. But the Chelkas Ben Yamin talks about this case, and his eyes seem to be just as crooked as Sheldon's were. He says, "What's going on here?" Right, this whole thing. What does it sound like here? It sounds like there's two loans. There's loan of non-Jew from Jew, and then loan B of from non-Jew to Jew. So what do these have to do with each other? Separately, right, also sounds as if that should be mutter also, from we'll see in the next sif. So we name a kordin zeh, he says mitshuvas harashba. So if you take a look at the tshuvas harashba, v'nira midvarav the ma'ari the tekef achar shelova hagoy halach v'hilva hamos liyisrael. That it sounds like, if you look at the Rashba itself, which we can look at shortly, that what it seems like from the Rashba is the takeoff immediately after he borrowed money from the guy, halach v'hilva hamos Yisrael. He went and he lent the money to the Jew, Hasheni, uvazen nirek haramash nischavin harishon litlos ma'os of biyad guy. And because it happened so quickly, it looks like that was what the kavana was in the first place, right? Because it's right away, the non-Jew takes money. Oh, thank you very much, $100. I'll owe you $110. He turns around, gives it to a Jew. Here's $110. You owe me $120, right? And it happens right away. So if that's the case, so then says the claims. That's, so Rashi was saying that's the case that it's talking about. And if that's the case, so then it really looks bad. So now we could take a look with that. You know, we're going backwards. We could take a look at those with the Beis Yosef. You could take a look in the Beis Yosef Kuf Samaches Sif Hei. And you can tell me what you think. So in the Beis Yosef Sifhei, I don't think there's no Sifhei in the Torah itself. So the Torah probably wouldn't have phrased it this way. But there is a Beis Yosef Sifhei. It comes right after Sif Beis.
Yes. Right at the top of
the
page.
Right at the top of the page. In your edition.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the Torah.
But what does the Rashba there say? Im Yisrael ha'ovah b'ribas l'goy be'edim, right, uvishtar, b'ha'goy ma'va usam l'Yisrael b'ribas, v'chozer Yisrael ha'rishon, v'notel ribas min ha'goy. So then the first Jew comes in to the guy and says, I want my ribas. Kasav ha'rashba b'tshuva, ro'ani l'hachner, I want to be machmir, v'lesor, prohibit this. Why? L'vishazet nase b'kavana litlos ma'o. Because that must have been his kavana all along, to get money from the Jew that the non-Jew is going to hereby lend to. And this isn't like the other case with the guy that borrows money from a Jew, Beribis, right? That's actually Sevav, right? The Hustle Nasis Boharam. Because there was clearly two cases, two steps, but this, it's not clear that it's one. That's two steps. It appears like it could be one step. So that's what that's. I guess the Rashi was not so clear, and also blessed with Lefisha Zed Nase Bekavana. The Rashi's case is, this was done bikavana. Right? This was done with the kavana of giving it out to Jew number two. Is that, so this is just, you know, so we have, when we learn Shulchan Aruch, this is just a general Shulchan Aruch Ha'ara. Right? When we learn Shulchan Aruch, we learn it as, Shulchan Aruch is connected to Beis Yosef, and there's commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah, we'll see the Ramah's explanation, which is a little bit different than this anyways. The Ramah gives an explanation of the Shulchan Aruch. And now, so we can understand that the Shulchan Aruch didn't mean that. But that's not what Rav Yosef Karo had in mind. Right? When Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he himself wrote it as a review of the Beis Yosef. Right? I don't know how you're supposed to understand this sif if you're just reading this as a review. Right? If you only have, if you read it, you know, with arms, I mean, so you cover the Taz, you cover the Shach, and you cover the Ramah right underneath it, and just read those three lines in the Shulchan Aruch, right? It sounds like he's asuring banks. That's the way I read it the first time. I was like, what's going on here? All right, and so then you read the commentary, you can see the explanation, what he really meant. So I just, in terms of, to make a, what's the point? Didactic, is that the right term? Just a derech halimud ha'ara. I'm not sure how, like, what Rav Yosef Karo was thinking when he wrote these lines. But anyways, so that's the pshat. That is suggested by the Chelkas Binyamin. He says, not really suggested by him, he thinks that's what the Rashba is saying, right? The Rashba is saying there's some type of stronger connection. A little bit.
So when a bank does it, the bank, yes, they will lend it out, but you don't know who they're going to lend.
Right.
Here there's a personal connection. I mean, that you see,
right.
That's when it's a personal connection, that's when it's.
Yes, so the Rashba's words were, it happened right, it was done by Kavana. What do you mean it was done by Kavana? It was done by Kavana that this is going to be our way to circumvent the Ribbis rule? Or it was done by Kavana that this guy has a loan license? Like, how much, what exactly is the Kavana that was necessary? And then the other thing is that Chelkas Binyamin doesn't exactly quote it that way. Chelkas Binyamin's quote is that it was done takef, it was done right away. It's a little bit different than what the Rashba said.
Rashba says it's Rashba. The Gron Abanim says, Mitshuvas Rashba,
yeah.
Shevi Beis Yosef. He says that's what it is.
He says Mishu Sarash for what?
Shehevi Beis Yosef.
Yeah, so, which is interesting. I mean, you don't need the Gra. I'm not sure why. We'll make another point. I'm not sure what the Gra is adding in because we have the Beis Yosef, unless you say, well, that was on the. Okay, maybe because it's so out there, he's making the point of saying that you got to look at the Tshuva, where this is coming from.
In the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Al Manas. In other words, he's making a connection.
Where does he say Yom Hanas?
In the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, that's a different case.
Al-Manas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a different case. That's a Ovikuchav that lends to a Jew in order and says the Ribbis is going to go to a Jew. That's a different case.
Well, that was
the first case. This is case number two, which is the Ramah.
If you say that this is prohibited, aren't you insinuating that the non-Jew is a shliach?
Ah, so the issue of a non-Jew being a shliach, we'll get that's the next simon. That's the next sif, I mean. But the non-Jew being a shliach. Good point. And that itself raises many issues. Correct. Okay, so the Ramah gives a different read of the Mechaber. What does the Ramah say? He says, V'dafka ima ubikul chavim halov. Yeah. He's right. Oh, sorry.
Where are we?
Quick turn. Okay. And he says Vidafka, and interestingly the Ramah doesn't point this out in the Darkei Moshe, but he says Vidafka ima ovik uchavim halov liYisrael hasheni b'shlichus Yisrael harishon. Yeah, when is this a problem? When the non-Jew is acting as a shliach for the first Jew, the commander Amar, and not only that, you have to be assuming the shita of yesh shlichus laovik uchavim lachumra. Right, you have to be assuming that there is such a thing as shlichus for a non-Jew. Now, what does that mean? What is the issue there? So the Gemara does state ein shliach la'akum. The Gemara says in a few places, a little unclear what that means. Does that mean that the responsibility doesn't go back? Perhaps it even means that the activity itself doesn't come into play. This is always, Kor Shecht always used to quote this in the context of Shemitah. That is one of the challenges on the Heter Mechira, is that what are you doing? You're selling land in Eretz Yisrael. So that's, you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael. So if you're selling, and not only that, I'm sorry, that's Shliach L'dvar Avir. Forget that. That's a different topic. It's assuming there's such thing as Yish Shliach L'akum. Now there's three positions as to whether there is shlichus for a non-Jew. There is yes, no, and maybe. Maybe would be the what he's saying here. Yish shlichus l'kuchavim l'chumra, meaning we're going to paskin l'chumra that there is no shlichus. We're going to paskin like the suffix, so to speak. I think that's what he's saying. Take a look at. Vafilu, and then he continues to Vafilu ain shliach lovik chavim lachomer. Even if you don't assume like that there's no shliach for a non-Jew, Mayri the Yisrael kof. Gufa lo obed kulchavim litain lo ribis. This is talking about the case. What was the Rashba talking about? That the Jew was forcing the non-Jew to give him the ribis. Now, where's the non-Jew going to get the money in order to pay the ribis from? All right, he's got to go shake down lova number two. That's the problem that the Rama said that the Rashba was talking about, even though Rashba wasn't talking about that. There's also another issue there. He says that would be us, says the Rama. All right, if non-Jew borrows $100 from the Jew, and now the Jew and is going to give the Jew $110, and the Jew knows full well that the only way the non-Jew is going to get $110 if he shakes down the guy that he had loaned the money to. So in fact, the non-Jew, the Jew A, is causing the non-Jew to shake down Jew B on Jew A's behalf in order to get ribbis from Jew B. That's what's going on here. So is there a way then to avoid? So if you assume like the Rama, right, if you assume like the Rama's reading of this, right, the Rama is saying, yes, such a thing is a problem when there is a direct relationship from Jew A to non-Jew to Jew B, right? So that would be, so then because of that relationship, you're going to have a problem. So how then could it possibly be permitted? So says the Rama, if you could figure out a way to break up that relationship so that it's not a direct route from Jew A to Jew B, so then you would be okay, right? It should then be permissible. So how could you break up that direct route? So says the Rama, right? The Mefsek Ribbis, what's it looks like Ribbis? Aval, im Islei lo'ovi kuchavim mashkon me'Yisrael. Let's say the non-Jew has a mashkon in his me'Yisrael sheni, a mashkon in his possession from Jew B, she'ein tzarech lachavuso, in which case he doesn't have to force Jew B, right? Below us the b'shlichus shal Yisrael Rishon. Therefore, it's not being done with the shlichus of the first Jew of Jew A. L'chuli al-mashari. In that case, it should be permissible. Right? So that's the Rama says. Yeah, in some scenarios it would be a problem, but other scenarios it would be okay. If non-Jew doesn't have to go to Jew B in order to get the money from him, so then it remains a direct relationship from Jew A to the Nachri. In which case, says the Rama, that should be permissible.
That's the mashkon hold.
How does the mashkon help? So I think we're assuming that the mashkon is in the non-Jew's possession. He has it.
That's right. But so what? Does he get the interest? Nobody gets to sell.
Somehow he's getting the interest. The point is that he doesn't have to go to Jew B for the money. That's the point. It's worth enough that he's able to get it. I think that's the read. Yeah. Okay. So the Shach here makes a few ha'aros, and Sif Yud here. He says, V'dafka, says, V'chuvus ha'rashma, shevi b'is Yosef mashma, right, the hecha shenase b'kavana l'tlos ma'osa b'yad ovikuchab, right, that what was happened here, that it was done b'kavana to use this money of the non-Jew b'haramas k'dei l'halvos l'Yisrael, in order to lend to Yisrael. B'chol inyan asr, in which case that should be asr, that should be totally asr. V'arav ma'iri, hecha shenase shelo b'kavana b'harama. So what's the base, what's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? The Shulchan Aruch is talking about where it was done without Kavanah b'harama, meaning it was done. We're not doing harama here, we're just, you know, it just happens to be from A to B. Now, I'm not sure what, I guess he's saying about the Ramah. That must be who he's referring to as the Rav. Okay, but if that was the case, then he'd be pretty much uprooting the entire Shulchan Aruch. Uprooting the entire Mechaber. I guess what the Shach is saying here is that, no. Yeah, that this, if this was done by kavana as a way of Jew A getting to Jew B and lending him beribis, so obviously that's going to be usher. He says what we must be talking about, it was not done by kavana. But then what is the Rama saying? If what's going to happen is that non-Jew is going to have to go to Jew B in order to get the money to pay Jew A, right? So then it's going to be usher regardless of what the kavana was. Okay, I think that's what the Shach is saying. Second, Yesh Shlichus L'Ovei Kuchavim. So what is this? This is where the Shach lays out the Shliach L'Ovei Kuchavim issues. Kolomar, the Shluchos Shel Adam Kamosa. Why? Because the Shliach of a person, right, is like him. V'af L'Gav D'Kai Malah, and even though we assume the Hainu Dafka be Yisrael, that's only by a Jew, about Lobo Ovei Kuchavim, but not by non-Jews, Lo Inhu L'Didon, Lo Inhu L'Didon. That doesn't matter for us. Right, but not by Nigel. Doesn't matter for us. sorry, that we can't be them and they can't be us. I mean, that's only by Jews that we assume shluchu shalom kamoso. When it comes to non-Jews, we can't have that type of identity politics. Right? We can't put them in the same. We can't exchange identities. Hainu midoraisa. That's the doraisa din. About chachamim hichmiru, but the chachamim were machmir. The shliach obi kochavim hu ki Yisrael aso hamishalcha. But when it comes to chachamim hichmiru, they were more machmir, right? The Rabban came along, were machmir. The shliach obi kochavim hu ki Yisrael asmo hamishalcha, and made it so that the shliach that was the non-Jew is like the Jew himself who sent it. But then there's a third opinion that says, but there's no opinion, there's no connection at all. In that case, the non-Jew is not like the Jew at all. Fine, but there is this tiered system of or tiered machlokas about how comparable they are, and that's two of those three opinions what the Ramah lays out. And finally, we'll do one more. Yisrael kofe b'afilu hafi lo aser el keshal love b'shlichus Yisrael arishon. It's only a problem when the love, meaning the non-Jew, is doing it as a messenger of the Jew. Din lukein lo mefsek ribis. But if that's not the case, doesn't like a ribis. Sheovikulchavim l'tzorach atzmo mitachila love finally come right. Plus the non-Jew is doing it for himself. So the problem is the Yisrael kofe. In order for it to be a problem, the Jew has to be forcing him to give him the ribbon. I mean, saying, oh, I need the money now, right? Oh, I don't have the money right now. Well, I know you lent the money to Shmerel Beryl. Please get me that money. So if that's, and I demand it now. So if the Jew is enforcing that, so that would be a problem. But if it's if there's no real connection there, it sounds like it's okay. In which case, it sounds like that's one more kula from the Shach. Yeah.
Allows the bank.
And therefore it allows the bank. Correct. Yeah. No, I was just kind of throwing it out there at the bank. I didn't think that, yeah. So banks are still mutter. At least non Jewish owned banks. Right? The Jewish owned banks we referred to earlier shiurim. Okay, for how they could be mutter. Okay, Sif Vav here, let's say in the Shulchan Aruch, Ovi Kochavim Shalav Amos Mi Yisrael. So now you have a non-Jew who borrows money from the Jew. So just to background here, so if you look in the Gemara puts Sif Vav and Sif Aleph right next to each other. They're the flip side of each other, right? The Sif Aleph was Jew who lent from non-Jew and then lends to Jew B, right? So that's a problem, and the Gemara says, but, and the list this case as being mutter. So whatever's going to be usser, and Sif Aleph is going to be mutter in this scenario. So what is it? Ovi kucham shalov amos mi Yisrael. So instead of the non-Jew being the malve, the non-Jew is being the lova. Non-Jew borrows from Jew, beribis uvikesh lahachzirim lo, and is ready to give it back, is ready to pay back his debt. Umatzi Yisrael, and a Jew finds him, v'amar lo, and says to him, hey, Tanamli Vania Lalakha Pederak Shata Malala. And I'll pay you back as you were going to pay him. Meaning I accept whatever terms you had with him. In which case you have a Jew paying a non-Jew's ribis to a Jew. Right? That's what's been set up here. So in that case it's mutter. Right, it's the opposite of what we had in Sif Aleph. So mutter, it's okay. And even if he says to him, ani ele lo, I'll give him the money as you're going to pay him, even that's going to be mutter. So even though the Jew is giving ribbis directly to a Jew, right? It says the Shulchan Aruch, that's okay. Because it's a via a non-Jew that he's giving it to him. And if he had stood next to the Jew, right, but if they were standing by the Jew, even though he gave the non-Jew gave the money into the hands of the Jew, because it's midas Yisrael nasan, it's then going to be usher. Maybe again, if he was standing by the Jew. If the non-Jew put the second Jew by the first Jew, meaning the Malve, and the first one said to the guy, that he should give the money to the second person, that's going to be a problem. Right? So if you stand, even though he gave it to the non, even though the non-Jew is the one who gave it to him, because it was a original Jewish malveh, that's going to be usher, and that seems to be the case that was enunciated in Sifhei beforehand, you know, what was kind of being alluded to. Right? That was takef, that's immediately, right? That's the suggestion of the original Jewish malveh to lend the money to the Jewish loveh. There just happens to be a non-Jew in the middle. Right? So that's going to be problematic. And if it's really set up explicitly in that way, that would probably be an issue to a raisa, I would assume. Comes the Ramah and adds in, however, v'yesh makilim, and some are even makil here, v'afilu im, I have this rubbed out. Even in that case, it would be mutter. But really, we hold like the first position. But if it's a place where they ever know it to be makel on this, we don't have to protest. We don't have to beat them up. So why would we assume? Why would we possibly be mekel? So says the shach over there. There's just no such thing. There's no such thing as shlichus. There's no such thing as a messengership when it comes to non-Jew. So assuming the money gets from Jew A to Jew B via a non-Jew, it's going to be mutter. So we don't pass in that way. I mean, what seems to be clear from this, and this is then a sugya to take with you for the rest of, you know, whatever else we learn, right? That there is no, we paskin really that yish shliach, yish shlichus la'akum, at least l'chumra, meaning you're going to be machmir for shlichus of non-Jews, but there is opinions that there is not, no shlichus for non-Jews, and not only that, the Ramah seems like he's even willing to let, you know, that there were places that practiced it, right? From the fact that Shulchan are saying is if there's a place that does this, and don't beat them up, so what does that tell you? It tells you that apparently there were places that practiced this, and the Ramah is saying that, okay, you can let him be. Now that, I don't know how you avoid the Haram issue. I mean, that's a pretty big thing. Right? A Jew says, that wants to lend money to a Ribbis, just get a Ribbis guy. Ribbis guy. Yeah. And that should be okay. Right? That seems like what's going on here. I don't know, you know, non-Jew might not want to be involved because they'd have to have a chrayas for it in terms of paying it back and things like that. But that seems like a pretty big kula that we don't really paskin like, but apparently the Ramah is willing to let slide if there are those that do paskin like that.
Suppose he gets a cut.
If they, right?
The guy gets a cut.
Yeah.
To make it better?
I don't think so. I mean, if this is an explicit thing, then I don't see how it would make it better. I mean, what would be you would do it? He says, okay, guy, you know, I'm giving you $100, you owe me $115. And he turns around and tells him to the Jew number two, you owe me $120, which he's getting a $5 cut, right? That would be the scenario. It sounds like being matred here is setting that up, l'chachila, whether he gets a cut or not a cut. Right? That sounds like what's happening. So in the Chelkos Binyamin here, Sif Nun Beis, he says Vahani Mili, he adds in. Now actually this is not so, he says Vahani Mili Bechov Shiyesh Bo Mashkon. That this really is only if the Chov has a Mashkon, if there is some kind of thing in the middle. A Bechov Shalashrai, if it's just a contract, so Kasav Haramal Le'el Sifhei De Aser Mishum Mechse Karibis, because that looks like Ribis, Kfarnis Barasham, Prati Dinzen, and we laid out the details over there. Okay, so I didn't get into all the details when I was preparing this before, but apparently the Chazon Yom is merging together the two Ramahs and says, yeah, that Ramah where he said that, oh, if there's some kind of dividing line in the middle such that person A can demand the money from the guy without him having to go to person B, because there's some kind of mashkin put up in the middle, so that should be okay. Now, how much does that mashkin have to be? That issue was laid out before. So does the mashkin have to be enough to cover the entire thing? Well, maybe. I mean, maybe a non-Jew could set up a professional lending between Jew and a professional ribbis service where he has mashkins on hand. right? He could put up whatever mashkin he needs in order to cover this issue. But of course, then he's responsible to going after the money himself, I guess. But yeah, anyways, so at least there's some hole here for some kind of leniency with a non-Jew involved, but, you know, but not much, not much. You're probably better off signing a heter iska than getting it on. It's probably easier signing a heter iska than setting up a deal in this way. And you just do one more, actually sign chas, both are kind of carrying on from this, then we'll stop. So in Siv Zayin, it says, Yisrael Shomer Lovikul Chavim, Lovili Mos Beribis Me Yisrael. A Jew says to a non-Jew, lend me money, Beribis, from a Jew, Bishmech, in your name. Vamava Lo Yada Shebishvel Yisrael Haim. So a Jew asks a non-Jew, hey, go borrow money from Bank Shmerel Barrel. Right, you're going to borrow money from me, being Shmerel Barrel. So, being Shmerel Barrel has as their policy that every time Hasidic Yidden walk in and they need a loan, so what do? They write a heter iska. But in this case, Hasidic Yidden is not coming in; it's Chris coming in. So Chris says, "Hey, I want to borrow the money." Right, and the bank doesn't know. The bank says, "Okay, fine. You know, we'll lend you the money off of Ribbis." So the Malvit doesn't know that this is on behalf of a Jew. So Hamalvit Mutter. In that case, the malve is okay, whatever that means. The malve is mutter, we have that in a moment, right? And the love has done an iser. So, what does that mean? The malve is okay, but the love has done an iser. Shulchan Aruch doesn't generally, this is like, it sounds like a scoreboard issue, right? A God scoreboard issue, right? Who's going to have the negative points? Who's going to get a foul on their account? So it's saying more than that. What he is saying is, what does it matter who's done the iser and who's not? So the question of being paid back, right? Can the bank who lent the money to Chris, not realizing that Chris was just a front man for Yankel, right? Can the bank say, listen, we want them, even though we might have done something that wasn't correct, it wasn't our fault, right? And we want the ribbis amount back. It sounds like that's what Shulchan Aruch is saying, right? Hamalva mutterva lova osa iser, adds the Ramavi, Yishmakil Mishum de Inshlichas Lovikuchav, Kfarni Spire Tzara, Mikon, this whole thing, as we explained earlier, Dein Lahakal Rakmak Mishnagal Hakav. But we already explained this earlier, Mikon, so many places, but either way, he can demand the money. I think that's what the Chalkas Binyamin spelled that out here. Right, Mutter Valova Asa Isser. There it is. Perish Lekabel HaRibis. That they still have the right. Not just do they not have to give back the ribis, but they're even allowed to demand the ribis. What does it sound like that if they knew at the time of Lava, then in that case it would be prohibited. Okay, one more case here. Yisrael Shomer Lovikulchavim Lovelim Min Ovikulchavim Beribis V'Halach Ovikulchavim V'Lovim Yisrael Beribis Mutter. A Jew says to a non-Jew, "Lend me from non-Jews Beribis." Right, and then the non-Jew number two goes and borrows from a Jew Beribis Mutter. What just happened there?
Neither the Malva know what's going on.
Yeah. Neither one knows what's going on, and there's two. Well, even that, even if they do know what's going on, there's two nachrim in the middle. That's what just happened here, and it sounds like that's mutter. Now, why exact? Now, there is a famous shaila about amira l'amira when it comes to amira l'akum, meaning it's prohibited to ask a non-Jew to do something, but can you ask a non-Jew to ask a non-Jew to do something? Can you have a Shabbos goy, Shabbos goy? Would such a thing be okay? So for Shabbos, we assume it's a problem. But for other things, it might be permissible. The biggest place where this comes up, at least I've come across, this Shiloh rears its head in the issue of neutering pets. That's where this Shiloh, at least I've saw it discussed in the Otzer Aposkim in the beginning of Eben Ezer, and that question, the question of seers of pets. You're not allowed to be Masari's pets, and you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it. But if you ask a non-Jew to ask a non-Jew to do it, which is actually what happens when you go to a vet, right? You go to a vet, and you're asking you order from the person at the desk, "I need this pet to be neutered," and then they bring it, then they bring out the vet, and they tell the vet the order, and the vet goes out and does it. Right? So that's a case of amira la amira. And I think we assume that it's okay. I think we assume that that is the that is what we advise people to do that are in that situation. It's a machlokas. The other way to do it is to do some type of mechira, some type of sale, so it's not yours, but also somewhat complicated, right? Not an easy thing, but anyways. But that's what's going on here as well. But this isn't really a case of amira la'amira. Here there are actually ovik l'chavim in the middle that are functioning as buffers between the two. It sounds like it's not really the same type of shayla. All right, we'll stop here. Shukaya. We'll see what comes up next week.